Good morning. A little cool outside, but warm and connecting in here. Kirkland, thank you for starting us off with talking to one another and connecting. Brent, thank you for all the songs praising the holiness of God, focused on that. And thank you to whoever finished covering the sound panels in the back of the room. It's the first I've seen them. Thank you. You're right, Dave. It is a wonderful view from up here. We have a lot of people who do things quietly and effectively around here. Somebody a couple of months ago hung a curtain out in the front window of the janitor's closet and made the front view of the building that much better. People very quietly taking care of things and serving and connecting with one another. It's a powerful thing you do when you do that. It's a powerful thing you do. So we're excited for the progress of the congregation. We're excited for the faith of our brothers and sisters. We're excited for the outreach and the connections around the world that you make. And we're excited for 2018. I hope last week the goals that we laid out gave you something to participate in. The intention is that between the Word of God, the goals of the congregation, and the work that our deacons do, that everybody has a job to do. You all have talents. We all have things that God has given to us. And within our congregation, we have deacons who take care of benevolence and coordinate the service Sundays and Wednesdays and take care of fellowship and missions and financial needs and the building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And every one of those areas needs many hands to take care of things. So last week, those goals of the congregation, the work that our deacons do, and your talents are all intended to be connected. So prayerfully consider the talents that God has given you. Find a slice of this congregation. You can apply that talent and go talk to the individual who's coordinating that. And your life and God's work can be meshed. We'd like to announce this morning that the three couples we've been considering for deacons are now installed and appointed. We gave a few weeks to consider Stephen Teamer and Daniel Morphew and Brady Kenning to be a deacon in Stephen's case with our prison ministry, in Daniel's case, a deacon who takes care of building and grounds, and in Brady's case, a deacon for our online ministry, our online outreach. And all three of those, we have discussed with them, we have discussed with you, we've taken in considerations, and we find those men adequate and good, well-talented for their position and well in agreement with Scripture. So we're excited to have three more deacons now in the congregation, and we're excited to move forward into 2018 with a lot of good goals in our future and power of God and the direction that God has given to us. Let's go to our Father right now before we start this lesson. Holy Lord, dear God, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We are in awe of the purpose and power you have put into our lives, how wonderful it is to be purposed people, to know what it is to have in your will in front of us. You want us to love you, to love one another, to follow your word, and to be like Christ. These purposes that we get to have, Father, to glorify your name and to care for the people around us, give excitement and challenge and joy to every day we have. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning and we learn about Christ and his teaching, that we can learn that which we ought to learn, that we can be the men and women, the congregation, the part of your kingdom that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You heard about the riddle right? So two teenagers were sitting, and the one said, I have a riddle for you, and asked the other one. And the other one said, good, I like riddles, and said, okay, you're the engineer of a train. There are 36 people on board the train. At the first stop, 10 get off and 2 get on. At the next stop, 1 gets on, but nobody gets off. And the other one said, wait a second. Okay, what was that the first time? And he repeated himself and said, at the next stop, 5 get on and 3 get off. At the final stop, 2 get off and 4 get on. So, and the guy's all scribbling and writing and scribbling. He says, so, the question is, what's the name of the engineer? And the other one looks at him and said, how am I supposed to know? He said, well, if you listened, the very first thing I said was, you're the engineer of a train. I'm sure many of you have heard that riddle before, maybe had it pulled on you. It's a popular one through the years that's been going around. But in fact, the power of listening is an amazing thing that we can be given by Christ teaching and encouragement and example on what to be as far as a listener. Now, we have set for ourselves a challenge. In this age of electronic media, in this age of cell phones, in this age of laptops and tablets, I keep forgetting the name of those things, and tablets, we're asked and reminded each other to look up and look at each other, look at people. Look at people, and we're going to help build ourselves to be really good at relationships. We're going to encourage one another on how to be really good at talking and listening to people. My little acronym for being a good listener, L-I-S-T-N-E-R, listener, it's only 3 of those letters. A simple pattern for being a good listener is L, look. Look at the person who's talking to you. T, in the middle of the word, think about what you're hearing. Engage your mind. Take it in an intellectual, in a thoughtful way. Gets rid of the part of it, where you're not just hearing sounds and words going through your eardrums, but you're actually hearing the thoughts and intentions of another person. And finally, the third part is the last letter, respond. Respond. Look, think, respond. Respond with, yes, oh, that's interesting. Let me see if I understand what you said. Are you saying, and then you repeat it back to them. Thank you for talking to me. Wow, that must have been difficult. That was impressive. That was an impressive story. I appreciate you telling me. Respond. While they're talking, nod your head. Blink your eyes. Look, think, respond on how to engage in listening to someone. I haven't been using a lot of PowerPoints in my Sunday lessons lately, but this morning's was more deliberate than most of them. I'm deliberately not using PowerPoint because this lesson is about hearing and listening. And I was caught off guard with today's story. I was going to do what I was going to use in this lesson was what Jesus said at the end of Luke 8, verse 8. I was going to use this phrase that Jesus uses repeatedly in his teaching at the end of verse 8, which is, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Which is an odd statement until you think about it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Excuse me, I have ears. Well, then hear. Then listen. Were you given ears? Then listen with them. And he says this over and over. And reading it at the end of this parable of the sower is not any more surprising than the other places that he inserts it. But the fact that he inserts it at all and challenges the crowds he talks to with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then I began to read around this parable, and I ran into something about the parable of the soils that I had never noticed before. And that's our lesson today. We know the parable of the soils. TJ just read it for us nicely and succinctly and clearly. And Jesus, like most of his teaching, has a very quick, pointed pattern to his teaching. He gets to deep points very quickly. Sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some went onto the pathway. Right? There's the road. Some went onto the rocky soil. That's not Rocky's soil. That's rocky soil. Soil with rocks in it. And some went among the thorns. And some went to the good soil. And then we can have a, I've taught this, we've taught this lesson together in our homes. We'll sit around in living rooms and discuss the parable of the soils. We've done it in classes. We've done it in sermons. We've done it at camp. It's a very useful lesson to analyze your lives. But there's a very interesting thing going on here, and he begins it in verse 9 by talking to his disciples about what it means to have parables taught to you. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." "To the rest it is in parables, that seeing they may not see, and that hearing they may not understand." Jesus brings the most obvious parts of our senses into understanding this parable and kind of challenges us. Are you going to understand? Are you going to pay attention? His blessing to the apostles, to the disciples, the 12 that are hearing this, he says, "You will understand. I'll make sure you do. It's been granted to you. But others will hear and they won't understand." Seeing without connecting, hearing without listening. And then he goes on to say these words. Look at this. Join me in verse 11. "The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the roads are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." In every one of these cases, Jesus said that these individuals heard. They heard, they hear, they heard. They heard the message. They heard the teachings of Christ. They heard the word of God. They heard, and in every case, they let it go. In every case, they failed to take hold. This is a parable about listening as much as it's a parable about soil preparation. Look at the fourth category and read this carefully with me in verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Let me repeat that. Who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The presentation of God's word is available to all these groups of people. All these groups of people heard, but three out of four of them, and I don't know if that's a percentage, I don't want to go there, but three out of four of these categories were not listening and were not using their hearts. Life is too short to miss the opportunities to listen. Life is too short to let our relationships deteriorate because we're not listening. And life is too dangerous to ever let the word of God go in one ear and out the other without the application of a good heart. They heard the word in an honest and good heart. Their heart was listening. Their heart was engaged. Their heart was connected to their ears. What an interesting idea that the heart is brought in to hearing. I'm not sure I've noticed that before in Scripture, that it is with our heart that we listen. Lots of other aspects of our heart and the importance of our heart are given to us in the Word. But in this parable, Jesus repeatedly talks about these people who heard. He talks about those who hear and don't understand, and then gives this the explanation of this parable about three out of four categories who hear and do not stay connected to the power of God's word. The lesson is all about, the parable is all about being careful how you listen to God's word. And in case you need any more encouragement that that's what it's about, listen to what he says next, verse 16. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it up with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Oh, okay, got it. Continue. For nothing that is hidden will not become evident, nor anything that is secret will not be made known and come to light. So, get your underline. This is where I started underlining. So, take care how you listen. Isn't that interesting? He brings it back again. Even though he's giving this beautiful little scene about using the lamp, and we'll talk about the lamp in a second, even though he has this wonderful little application about lamps and in a dark house and lampstands, he brings it back to be careful how you listen. Look, think, respond. Look, think, respond. So, clearly, this lamp, the lamp is the word of God. That's what's applied in the parable before. God's word, the seed, given to everyone. So when you have an illumination, when you have an illumination to your life, like God's word absolutely is, the illumination to our lives, a guidance for us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, This is the illumination to who we are and where we're supposed to walk. When you have it, and in your homes, when you have a light, you put it somewhere useful. Walking in the room and turning on the light switch and having a bright light illuminated under the bed when you flip the light switch would be pretty silly. Somebody would say, it's still dark in here, except there's glow under your bed. Yeah, I screwed the ceiling light into the floor and put my bed over it. What? Yeah, we put the fixture, just attached it to the floor over there and put it under the bed. That way it won't get broken or dusty. Obviously ridiculous. What we don't understand and what we fail to realize when Jesus uses lessons about life, what I try to make myself remember, is how little light they had to use when the sun went down. Darkness was a real enemy before the electric lights became so prevalent. Darkness was a real difficulty. And when your illumination was only the burning of a single little wick in a small little lamp, and you might have a couple of those around the house that you had to keep refreshing with oil, you went to bed pretty early. You didn't do a lot of reading. You didn't do a lot of sewing after the sun went down. Your work got done during the day and the evenings got quieter, because if you tried to do something with lamplight, you could only do a little bit in a small area. Traveling at night was very difficult. Meeting like this wouldn't have been possible in an inner room except with very dim lights. Finally, candles were produced at a greater quantity, but still that made things smoky and dark and difficult. We see old movies of the insides of buildings and castles and whatever, but you know movies and Hollywood lights are artificially brightened so you can see what's going on. Darkness was a serious problem. So when Jesus gives us the Word of God as a light that you might really see, and talks about no one lights a lamp and puts it down underneath a piece of furniture, everybody chuckles because of how ridiculous that is, because they all know that oil's expensive and lights have to be used carefully. Jesus' teaching, God's word, illuminates our lives. So he says, so be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. We get three powerful points from Jesus' teaching here through this. And we're not done with the verses yet. We'll get to the last part in just a few minutes. First, number one, Jesus is teaching us listening carefully means that we take time in God's word to read it and take it in. We take time to read God's word and meditate on it. You need to have protected time in your life, in your day, to listen to God's word. And I don't mean audio recordings, although that's a wonderful way to apply God's word. But your reading is listening. Look, think, respond. Look, have your eyes wide open when you're reading his word, that you might take it into your heart, because sometimes it's going to rebuke you, that you might apply it to your life, that you might see opportunities in it for your growth and for your day. Think, take it in, apply it to your heart, meditate on it, and then respond, which is obvious. Respond, get up, do something. Immediately stop and pray for what you've just learned, that you can be one who responds to God's word. There's a story told about, I think it's a true story, about a ranger who worked in Yosemite National Park, the name that I read was Carl Scharsmith, who worked for 50 summers, 50 seasons in Yosemite National Park. And when he was getting ready to retire, people were asking him about his experiences with tourists, and they said, what's some of the most frustrating things you ran into? And he said, well, one of the most frustrating is the tourist who comes up to me and says, so, if I only had an hour in Yosemite Park, what should I do? Where should I go? What should I see? And after 50 years there, and year after year seeing nuance after nuance and enjoying one thing after another in that park, his response was honed down to, well, if I knew that I only had an hour to enjoy Yosemite Park, I think I'd go over by that river right there and sit down and cry. I think that'd be about the best thing to do. Like God's magnificent creation, which has one aspect after another for us to enjoy, His Word is infinitely enjoyable like that. Take time in it. Drink it in. Go through it by yourself. Go through it with your family. Go listen to it driving down the road. Pray about it. Meditate on it. Know God's Word and enjoy it. That's number one. Number two is, in God's Word, look for Christ. Look for Christ. Christ is all through the Old Testament, not just in the Messianic prophecies, but in the people of the Old Testament. When you read about Abraham's sacrificial faith, you find Christ. When you read about David's joy and rejoicing and how David refused to take a charge of his own kingship and waited for God to place him as king, you find Christ. When you see Noah saving those who would respond, you find Christ. You find Christ over and over. John 6:39, put this down. Jesus rebuked the Jews, saying, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." And a good Christian says, "Well, don't I find eternal life in the scriptures?" And Jesus says, "Careful, careful. It is these that bear witness of me." In other words, Jesus says, when you get in the scripture, look for me, because eternal life is in me. Eternal life is in me. John 6:39. So when you're in the scriptures, look for Christ and apply Christ to your life. And finally, number three, in your time in God's Word, listen with obedience. Be obedient. And in that, to absolutely nail down that all of this discussion right now is about listening, let's go back to Luke chapter 8 and look at verse 19. So he talks about this. He talks about the parable of the sowers, and the parable of the sower is about hearing the word of God and how you respond to hearing. When he talks about the lamp, he says, so be careful how you listen, meaning listen to God's word. And then his mother and brothers show up. Well, we think the lesson is over. We're not talking about this anymore. His mother and brothers come to him, verse 19, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. It was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They're wanting to see you." And he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." He wasn't finished talking about listening yet. He wasn't finished talking about what it is to hear and respond to God's word. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Look at John chapter 6. Add this to your list of scriptures in your notes. John 6, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father. Everyone who has heard and learned. That's that listen, think, respond. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus says the natural reaction to the proper listening of God's word is to respond to him specifically. Romans 10, one more verse after that and the lesson is yours. Romans 10, you know part of where I'm going anyway. Verse 14, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe when they have not heard, whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Elijah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're a people who carry an audible message. We're a people who carry the word in words to talk to people about. It's a lamp. Even our own lives reflect the lamp of God's word that we show people, we teach people, we talk to people that they may hear and believe. And finally, James chapter 1. This is good to apply to our own listening style in our own relationships. This is especially good to apply to listening to God's word. James chapter 1, verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a guy who talks a lot, verse 19 slows me down. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Are you one of those people who, when somebody else is talking to you, you have the response prepared in your brain and you're just waiting for them to stop talking so you can blurt it out? I'd put my hand up, but it'd be too embarrassing. Quick listeners. Not quick-tongued, quick listeners, quick to hear. That doesn't even make sense, except that God teaches it to us. You have quick ears? What does that even look like? Quick to listen, responsive to somebody else. Look, think, respond. You know who they are. People who enjoy your stories. People who enjoy your the telling of your week. People who sit down across from you and smile and be quiet for a while you tell how you're doing. Quick to listen and slow to speak and absolutely slow to anger. Let's continue, verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's a lesson all by itself, but we won't go there today. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers and who delude themselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So the three lessons Jesus gives to us in this is go into his word and listen to it. Meditate on God's word. In God's word, look for Christ. And then obey God's word. Stay in God's word, look for Christ, and obey his word. A surprising turn for me to find this jewel in the parable of the sower. I thought the parable of the sower was about many things. I didn't notice until this week the parable of the sower is also about listening. So let's be a people who are good at listening. Listening to each other, but more importantly, listening to God in his word. If any this morning are ready to be baptized into Christ, if any have any need, other need that we can help them with, whatever your need be, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.